First of all, I want to thank God for everything he's done for me. That's an understatement. I'm very nervous. I feel like Noah. I want to get on a ship and leave. But I think about it. Think about all the things that God's done for me, and I shouldn't be ashamed of what he's done for me.
Right.
He's done something amazing in my life. I'm not worthy of the things that he's blessed me with, a family, the belongings that I have, the job that I have. Before we get started, I'd like to go to prayer and ask God to help me. Yes. Precious, loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for just another day, God. You see that I need you, Father. My God, I need you now, Father. I need you always, Father, within me, Lord. And Father, I thank you for everything you've done for me. I just ask that, Lord, that if one soul could be turned from going back into sin, Father, tonight, or be encouraged to get saved, Father, it'd be worth it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through your Holy Spirit, Father, to these people, Father. And my God, if there's one here that has a need, Father, let them be free from that prison, Father, that's trapping them, Lord. And Father, we want to encourage the young people, Father. We're thankful for them. We ask that you would encourage them, Father, to hang right in there, Father. And a lot of them are approaching college, Father, and some of them. And we just ask that you would just keep them, Father, in your will, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm not like my wife. I can't freelance it. So I had to type it out. It hasn't been a long, long time since I've got back to God, but I remember how the life of sin had ruined me.
Yes.
How I lived after the flesh and did whatever I wanted to do. How the devil convinced me that I could never get back to God.
Yes.
He also convinced me that my wife would never go along with the standard of the church and me as a Christian. I had developed bad habits that I am ashamed of, such as drinking and foul language. I was what you call a functioning alcoholic. I didn't miss work. I worked, did my job, come home, and I was always thinking about getting that next drop. My life had become something that I never wanted. It became like Isaiah, the 57th chapter, you know, as the troubled as the raging sea, Father, and totally unsettled. Never, I would have conversations where I would be so upset, and Stacy would ask me, "What's wrong with you?" What I said, "You don't understand. I'm unsettled. I don't have no peace." And over the last several years, I started remembering the peace that I had through the trials that I would go through. I still go through trials now, but thank God I got a good wife good wife and family that get behind me with prayers, a good church family.
Yes.
We still go through time, the trials of life as a Christian, but there's an advocate we have with God.
Yes.
That could help us through our problems. I had no peace, no comfort. So to get some relief, I turned to alcohol, and I couldn't wait to kill the pain and comfort by getting drunk and what seemed like every day. The days I didn't drink, I thought about drinking. I felt so bound in sin and so helpless. I knew I was raising my kids wrong. I felt like a failure. I had come to church during a camp meeting maybe a year and a half ago to visit my aunt and grandma, and then people that I knew here that have been raised in this church. I didn't have a steady upbringing. My mom and dad got divorced at a young age. Things happen. But here's where I'm at. But as soon as I come through the doors, I would be under so much conviction. The devil had me so bound in sin. He was telling me that I couldn't live a Christian life, or my wife would never approve, so I couldn't do it, period. The devil had convinced me that I could never live a Christian life anymore, that I had went too far. So I just bit my lip and stood through the invitation. I had been raised in the church all my life. and always heard that if you spurn the invitation, you can become gospel hardened, and God would stop talking to you or to me. So I made it a point to stay away from church, so I didn't go for a year. So life kept going on, and I kept going down in a spiral. I had stayed away for a year and never went to church. Every worldly thing I did, such as going to concerts, our biggest thing was going to country concerts, taking a camper, you know, and acting a fool. And that was what we did. And everything that we did during that year, it was a failure. It rained. Our camper was, I had to get carpets cleaned in it because of the mud and every situation that we went through that year was an absolute failure. And I think God was kind of helping me along to make me sick of sin, because when you really get a good revelation of God, a really good revelation of Jesus, you have to be sick of sin. And I was. Party seemed to be a disaster. It rained and it was cold when it was supposed to be hot. I got drunk and did stupid things under the influence, many I can't even remember. Every time the dawn would come, I would tell myself and my wife I would never drink that much again, or I would never do this or that again. Until the next weekend or so, I'd be right back to the party or drinking. I wanted to change my life, but I couldn't. I also was bound by worldly music, such as country music. Some people that's been raised in the church listen to country music. Well, when you put that light, and when you're actually living what they're talking about in the country music, you get bound by it. I love music. I love gospel music. I love Church of God music. So it was just naturally when I went into sin and went into deep sin that I liked country music. Couldn't stand rap. So I liked country music. And we would go to country concerts and quit or drink and carry on. But many in my quiet times, like going to or coming home from work, God would speak to me. And I would feel the love God had for me. Like his father would after a child went wayward, or a shepherd for that one lamb that went missing. In the quiet times, I started to remember the peace I had once living for God and how the grace of God was to me. I remembered I went through trials and tribulations then too, but I always had somebody that I could lean on, like God.
Yes.
I had finally hit rock bottom one weekend. I got intoxicated and acted like a fool in front of my family and father-in-law. And that was the turning point in my life. I can never get over how far I had went in sin and how sin dragged me down so low. I started to listen to all my old gospel messages that I had, trying to find a way back to God.
Yeah.
But the devil was fighting me all the way. I was at the gym lifting weights was coming down to rock bottom, and the Lord started dealing with me and convicting my soul to the point my eyes were leaking.
Yeah.
I tried to conceal my weeping from the other guys lifting weights too. My heart, I had become so sick of my life and so sick of sin. I just want to pause right there. When you go, I would to God that none of you ever go. This is the point of bringing this. It's my testimony, so you don't go out there. When you go into that, it's you're under so much bondage. You're trapped. You cannot. You're so trapped. You don't even know how to get out. You know the way. You would think that, man, I was raised in the church. I just need to pray to God and He will do it. Well, there's so many things that's flooding your soul. And to really hit the rock, you really have to get a drawing and a vision of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that's what's going to keep you in those low points in your life. Like, I've been going through a valley on third shift. And it's just been weighing on me. You know, some of the things have tried to permeate my mind. And, you know, it's just been rough and I'm so glad for this camp meeting. This is a perfect timing to be infilled with the Holy Spirit, to be blessed with the people gathering together. Just a couple months prior to this day, a brother from church had texted me and told me that he was still praying for me, that he had not given up on me. I was texting this brother from church while lifting weights and telling him I couldn't believe how far in sin I went. He told me, if he draws, you must answer the call.
Right.
I went to the sauna room in the gym, and it's a good place to think and different things, you know. And I was the only one in there, and I started talking to God, and I didn't even feel worthy to even look my head up to heaven. I said, Lord, I give up. Kind of like the song that you guys said, give up and let Jesus take over.
Yes.
I said that word, you read that right before I left years ago, maybe 10 years ago. We sung that in the youth choir, give up and let Jesus take over. And to really get the peace and the love of being a Christian, you have to give up completely your will. Completely, everything. Give it over to the Lord. I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? Everything, you know, and that is where the peace of love of God really comes into your heart and gives you the strength to live above sin. I started talking to God and said, Lord, I give up. I've tried it my way. I want to do it your way.
Yes.
I'm tired of running. Help me. That very day, I felt, when I prayed that prayer, because I didn't really say it out loud, I said it within my heart to God. That very day, God took the desire of alcohol away and the desires that I had of this world away. The foul language away. At that time, I didn't know how I was going to do it, how I was going to live it. But I wanted to trust God.
Yeah.
My wife wasn't saved and wasn't raised in the church like I was. I didn't know how I was going to tell her. I didn't know how I was going to live the life of a Christian around my unsaved family. My mind went to a couple of brothers in the church who have unsaved companions and how they, by the grace of God, stayed faithful for so many years. And I thought, if God could help them, He could help me.
Man.
I made a determination that I was going to live for God no matter what. We sing a song. The Perry sing, find me another version of Find Me Faithful. You know, remind me in the hard times I have promises to keep. When we get saved and we come to God, we make a promise by asking God into our lives that we're going to live for God. You know, how many times that we go, Lord, if you just do this, I'll live for you, I'll give you the praise. But when I get to that crossroads in my life and I think, what's the consequences for this? What if I go here? What if I do that? What's going to happen? You know, it keeps me saved. It keeps me from detouring away from the truth, detouring away from the things that I know what's right. So if you think of it that way, sometimes that could help you stay faithful, is to think about the promises that you've made to God and what He's done for you.
Yes.
Little did I know, I made a determination I was going to live for God no matter what. Little did I know, my wife was seeking the change I was wanting too. So now that God has changed mine and Stacy's life, God has restored and surpassed any spiritual experience I've ever known before.
Yes.
Thank God for that.
Yes.
But with my experience now, there's a lot more things I battle in my day-to-day life. Scars that sin left behind. Some could say they might not have a powerful testimony because they never went into deep sin, but I beg to differ. While God has done something very amazing in my life, I have to endure daily temptations. Sometimes seem to be weighing down on me, so trying to overpower me and harassing me from the devil, from the scars that sin's left behind. I am so encouraged and proud to see young people stay true to God, to see young people become young adults and stand up for Jesus. I would like to encourage you to have a purpose in your heart and the things of God, like Daniel 1:8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. And that's just a part of the scripture, but that's the point that I want to make. You know, we can, as a young age, just like Samuel, he was given to the works of God. He was given for the purpose of God, to work and live for God. And we could have that same determination like Daniel did. No matter what, this person backslide, I'm going to keep going straight. Right. I'm going to keep on going for God. Amen. I'm going to keep on working. I'm going to keep on striving. And I think of all the people that have stood here, and I, as we were doing this, I remember how it was the other way, how this room used to be. And I think of all the people that have stood here and give their testimonies such as this, warning us, warning the young people about going into sin and playing around, just like the testimony last night. I remember back. See, when you come back to God after being away from God, God takes you right back to where you failed Him. He's faithful to us, and He shows us what we need to do. Mm-hmm. Go back and make that right, and then keep pushing forward. And so, I think about it. I've thought about many times just how many people have been up here, and how many people that I've went to youth group with, and a lot of the people that I grew up with in this church, they're not here anymore. To see people still go out and away from the church to scar up, I think of all the people that have stood here in the personal testimony and warned us about the youth about the bondage of sin, the scars that it leaves. And to see young people still go out and away from the church and scar up their lives. There is no guarantee that you will get back to God and if you go away. Only by His grace and mercy and love, thanks be to God, I did.
Yes.
Young people, don't give up. If you get knocked down, get back up again and go forward. God's grace is sufficient. If you're here tonight and you're down, you're trying to fight your way back to where you need to be, God is able to help and heal. I think sometimes what it's like to be among the crowd when Jesus was healing and speaking and performing miracles, people came with the expectation of seeing something amazing happen. That's what I sometimes feel like when I go to church. I believe God is ready to save people from their sin and to restore someone who has went astray from God and away from the fold. The woman with the issue of blood had to press her way through the crowd. She was sick. It couldn't have been easy. But she fought the crowd to get to Him. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to press your way past yourself, your friends, your family, etc., to get to Jesus. Jesus is waiting, and by faith, you can receive help.